Hello and welcome to the Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner. And in this episode, Michigan District President Dave Davis interviews one of the Synod's nominees for president of the LCMS.
This summer is the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're going to have all kinds of speakers and worship and determination on different resolutions. One of the other things we'll be doing is electing officers. Prior to the convention, we actually elect the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I've invited all five of the candidates to speak with me to share their thoughts for our Michigan District pastors and electors, all those that will be involved in electing the new president. And one of the fellows who said he'd be willing to chat with us is the Reverend Richard Snow. He's the district president of the Nebraska District and has been there for 8 years. Richard, welcome. Thanks for doing this.
Bet. Good morning.
Good morning. Let me get started with this. I've been district president for about 6 or 7 months, and it's turned out to be a pretty big job. I can only imagine that the synodical president is a really, really big job. But why does serving in such a way appeal to you? I don't think you or anybody's seeking this office, but why'd you leave your name in the hat?
Well, I don't know if appeal would be the way I'd put it. kind of what? Daunting, humbling. I would say that God has given me a spirit of boldness and a desire to serve. It's kind of one of those odd things. I never really thought I was going to be a pastor. I never thought I was going to be a district president, and I still don't think I'll be the synodical president. But I'm also just keenly aware of how God prepares us kind of for whatever he has before us. As you mentioned, serving as district president has its own challenges and difficulties and joys. And I think in some ways, through these last 8 years, God at least I think has prepared me and enabled me that if I would be elected to serve well. I think especially for me at least, I recognize that the Synod doesn't need a new savior. The one we have is a good one. I think Jesus has done a fine job so far, and his Holy Spirit is doing the work that is needed. And I think in that way, God has prepared for us leaders, and any number of men could lead the Missouri Synod. I think part of what appeals to me, if we're going to use the word appeal, is that I've always seen that my work is in equipping and releasing others and not trying to do what no one can do on their own. So as a pastor in a church, you can equip your people, you can release them to serve, but if you try to serve where they're supposed to be serving, the church is going to be in trouble. I think as we look at it, for me at least, he has shaped me to be a great believer in the whole body of Christ doing its work. So collaborating, building teams, again, equipping people to serve, releasing them to serve, trusting they're going to do what they're supposed to be doing, checking in, helping them if needed, and sometimes correcting if that's a part of the process. But what appeals to me is really trying to get the whole body of Christ doing the work that only can be done is if every part is doing its work.
Okay. See, appeal is not that bad of a word.
I guess. I mean, it is, I would say it is exciting for me to trust that God is going to do his work, to trust that he will use whoever he places in service to do the work that only, again, can be accomplished if the Spirit is doing that work through the vessels that he's placed in our lives.
As I've been district president just this little bit of time, I'm going to say something that's not at all news to you, but certainly here in the Michigan District, we're seeing the impact of not enough pastors, not enough teachers. I'll say in a big way, this isn't something that's coming. It's something that's here. What do you think can be done to increase the supply of pastors and other professional church workers?
Well, again, I would say first, what we really need to do is get the whole body working again. You know, I mean, it's I think in too many ways, our church has kind of had the luxury of, you know, having lots of pastors and lots of workers in the past, where we could just kind of say, okay, you guys go and get it done. And we're really at a, and I think, though, again, wonderful, faithful servants, I think oftentimes we tend to kind of do for our people what our people need to be doing as the whole body. So for me, I guess the first step is, how are we actually engaging our laity in the work that they're called to do, and see how God, again, through that service, can bring interest in greater service or more full-time service as far as that goes. I think the second thing, again, is as we get our laity more involved, you know, and again, family ministry is a big part of that. How do we lift up the home altar? We're really good about church and the church altar, but I think a lot of times we neglect the home altar, you know, family devotions, family study, all, you know, Bible study, just personal reading, all those kinds of things. We've got to increase those things among our laity. And then we need to start really looking with eyes that identify those who have potential for greater service. And I think the other thing for me is, if I have one kind of regret as I think back to my, you know, ministry in the congregation, I certainly encouraged some of the young people to serve. I wish now I would have planted that seed in every believer's heart. You know, it's like, how is God calling you to serve? And whether that's in a, you know, kind of a non-church work, so to speak, vocation, or whether that's in church work, really just kind of planting that seed of, where is God calling you to serve? And how is, you know, how might God be calling you into full-time service in church work? All those things are a part of that. But also then again, really looking at adults, who are some adults that really should think about a new vocation in serving the church, in serving Christ.
Yeah. I think that leads into the next question. You were talking about youth, and I think all the reports are that young people are facing greater levels of stress than ever before. When you think about young people in our congregations, what do you think our congregations could be doing or should be doing for young people in regard to faith formation? And, you know, what do you think are the future of parochial education is part of that?
Parochial education, you know, great opportunities to really to train our kids, to have, you know, to have them, again, wrapped in Christ, you know, their whole day with as they learn science and math and you know, English or whatever it might be. A foreign language is always a good idea as well. But I think really fundamentally we have to come back to the home altar. We've got to look at family ministry. Your own Concordia Center for the Family, I think, is an incredible opportunity. Oh, I wish I could remember now. I think it was probably back in 2005. We had Ben Freudenberg come to my congregation in Battle Creek, really looking at how do we strengthen the home altar? How do we get parents as the primary faith shapers? Again, the Center for Family talks about, you know, being home-centered, church-supported instead of church-centered, home-supported. And we really took that to heart. You know, it's like we've got to do more in our confirmation in training the parents to be the teachers of their kids and to reflect home devotions and personal prayer. And kind of the focus that I kept saying is, I can't teach your kids anything. I can reinforce what you're teaching, and I can expand what you're teaching. Maybe give them more detail of scripture or whatever, but I can teach them about prayer, but I can't teach them to pray. I can teach them about a relationship with God, but that their relationship with the Father is going to look far more like yours than it does mine. So to me, when kids have that full engagement of the faith of their parents, they just have a different security. That doesn't mean there aren't stresses. There still will be challenges. You go off to some, public institutions, and there's all kinds of stuff that's going to be, hitting them or challenging them. But at least if they have that foundation from the home, to me, that's just a huge, huge impact on them. And then we need to help them connect with one another. Again, just the whole importance of the family of God, not just kind of your genetic family, right, but your spiritual family, and how do we help them build those relationships that and again, the importance of face to face. I love the fact that we've got a lot of electronic opportunities to connect with people, but
this one going on right now.
Right. Yeah. As much as I appreciate the opportunity to kind of visit online, I'm a tactile person. One of my love languages is physical touch. And I just think that connection, there is just a different energy that is provided as people are together. And so a lot of, I think, the challenges that our kids are facing today is kind of this self-isolation that happens because, electronic stuff is great. There's a lot of advantages, a lot of neat tools that we can use, but ultimately it is physical connection that makes the difference.
Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah. How about this? Concordia Ann Arbor is near and dear to our hearts here in Michigan, and we think of it as a great asset to our congregations. It went through some changes here about 10 years ago, and we're glad by God's grace we still have it. So we're very grateful for Concordia Ann Arbor, for the church workers it raises up, but also the consecrated lay people it sends out in any number of areas. What do you see in regard to the future of, if I can say, Concordia Ann Arbor specifically? You have a Concordia in your district as well, and maybe our Concordias as a whole.
Again, I would say one of the big things we have to simply do is help our colleges recruit. Again, another regret I would say I have is that I didn't kind of really push every kid in the congregation thinking in higher education to at least give a look at one of our Concordias. And again, I think certainly church work is a priority in that. But as you mentioned, our Concordias do a great job of really training laity to go back and serve well. So the faith development there, all those things I think are a critical part. I think that's really where also we need to encourage our congregations and lay people to see how they might support our Concordias. One of the challenges, of course, of attending a Concordia, at least initially, is the sticker shock. The cost that's involved. Now, of course, if you actually get into it, our Concordias are fantastic when it comes to tuition and student aid and all those kinds of things. But we, first and foremost, we got to get students going there. Secondly, we need to support it so students can afford going there. And then again, really look at how are we supporting the staff, the personnel that are there. How do we help make sure that that's a place where faith is encouraged and developed, as opposed to some other public institutions where there's a lot more challenge to faith and kind of rejection of God.
Yeah, Well, thank you. Like I said, our Concordia is near and dear to our heart here, and I'm sure Seward is in Nebraska. We'll see where God leads those. What about this?
Can I also just mention one of the things that we really need to improve on as a synod is how do we actually help those Concordias coordinate with one another? I think for too long our Concordias have been kind of siloed in their work, and like there are things that Ann Arbor offers that Wisconsin doesn't. There's stuff that we offer that Irvine doesn't. There's stuff that Irvine has that Wisconsin, so how do we really help our kids then identify what's the best Concordia, or is there opportunity where a kid going to Ann Arbor can take classes from Irvine? So we just need to really work on how we coordinate so that a kid can get a nursing degree at Ann Arbor. I don't think Ann Arbor has nursing, but how do we help so kids can go to a more, we know that kids really do often prefer a local university. So how do we coordinate the strengths of our various Concordias so that a student doesn't have to come to Nebraska to, do ag, because Ann Arbor, I don't think, has an ag department, right? So can we get a kid going to Ann Arbor, but getting his ag degree from, Seward so that, I don't know. So those are, I think, just some of the, I think those are ways that we need to look at how do we collaborate as a whole in helping support and encourage our kids to go to their local Concordia, or at least whichever one is best serves their needs.
Concordia Ann Arbor does have a nursing, but we don't have an ag program. So maybe we can connect with that.
There you
and,
go.
And I do think Concordia Ann Arbor Mequon in some ways have already started to learn how to share those things, because there is a lot of sharing.
Yep.
We can expand it. Yeah. Thank you.
Right.
How about this? Here's the last thing I wanted to ask you about. We see contraction in many of our congregations and ministries. I think there's been some sense across our denomination, well, these days, just the demographics, that's how they'll go. But how do you see the LCMS moving forward in mission here in America, and maybe this might push you a little bit, specifically in Michigan or specifically in what you do in Nebraska, but how do you see us moving forward on the local level?
Right. God certainly has, historically blessed the Missouri Synod with a lot of just natural growth in terms of family size and kind of folks coming, into our congregations. But I think it's interesting to me that as you look at the Old Testament and then the New Testament, in the Old Testament, the focus really was, be fruitful and multiply, have kids. And not that we shouldn't still do that in the New Testament. I'm all about that, right? But it's interesting that if you think of like Paul as an example, he never had kids, but he had a lot of spiritual children, and we need to really help our people understand that the family of God is where we need to have our kids. That's where we need to bring our genetic children, but it's also where children are made, as the church, has children through baptism, so we really need to start helping our people. And Mark Woods, Everyone His Witness, and man, if I could force feed that in every congregation, I would. And I do, I would say that's one of the big things I'm doing in Nebraska. Every congregation I visit, I talk about Everyone His Witness, because it is where we make the family of faith expand as we plant the seeds of the gospel, again, among our family. That's one of our vocations, among our neighbors and, community and friends, co-workers, and even in the church, right? That's a big part of it. That's why Bible study, I think, is so critical in our churches. I mean, there needs to be more personal Bible reading. We really need to encourage our people in their own devotion life. Again, the family altar. But we also really need to expand Bible study in our congregations, where, and everyone has witnessed, can be one of those studies that folks go to, where they're, and all the different modules they have with de-churched adult children and dealing with anxiety and stress. I mean, they've got so many great modules of how people can talk to family, neighbors, coworkers, you know, and church members to just share that faith, to share that encouragement. And that's, I think, just absolutely critical for us. We've got to stop. I love our incredible support for mission. We do a great job here in Nebraska and Iowa West with Mission Central. Gary Teese is involved in helping get missionary support. But one of the things Gary also says is everyone is a missionary, that every one of us have a mission that God has placed us to serve people and to share his love. And we really need to help our people. A lot of that just happens organically. You know, I mean, if Christ is in you, you're a witness. I mean, but it's kind of like parenting, right? Some of it you just do organically, but there are some parts of parenting that really need to be intentional. You really need to focus on, you know, certain aspects of raising your kids, because they don't raise themselves. And the same is true of making disciples. I mean, you know, there is an organic nature to it, but there's also an intentional nature to it. And that's really where we need to be looking at the mission field that's next to us. Probably every pastor should start learning Spanish. I mean, that's just because, again, the mission field is all around us. But even those folks that are coming, the second generation speak English. So, you know, we've got opportunity, even in just speaking English, to share the love of Christ by how we accept people, how we love people, how we welcome them into our congregations.
Right. Well, Richard, I appreciate your time today to think about things that are impacting our church, things that might be impacting here in the Michigan District. And we commend you and the other candidates to the Lord's care. And we look to him to guide and direct and bless our church. If I could, let me close with a word of prayer.
Sure. Can I just first say a word of thanks? You know, your leadership, your partnership now as a district president, as we get to know one another more, enjoyed 7 years working with David Meyer and his great leadership. So again, the people of Michigan have chosen wisely. So thank you and David for your leadership of the saints in Michigan.
All right. We'll take that. I don't know if we deserve it, but we'll take it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for a time to visit with Richard, and we're grateful that he and others are allowing themselves, their names to stand in nomination for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Father, we pray your will be done. Guide and direct the electors to choose in those ways that would bring glory to you, that would bring blessing to the church and increase to the kingdom. We commend Richard and his household and his district to your ongoing care and love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.